Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. Today, I want to talk about why strong women struggle with strong men. Again, this is from my perspective. In today's episode, I'm exploring my own personal relationship with strength, masculinity, and safety, not from theory of generalized advice, but from lived experience. Having grown up surrounded by strong men, beginning with my dad, I learned very early to associate masculine strength with protection and stability. But alongside that sense of safety, another pattern quietly formed, a tendency to meet strength with strength and to unconsciously turn connection into competition. In today's episode, I'm reflecting on how my definition of strength evolved into armor and shaped by stories that I carried about weakness, femininity, and what it meant to be respected. I'm sharing with you how overcompensating with masculine energy helped me succeed in many areas of my life while simultaneously making intimacy with men more difficult. Today, I'm not talking about blaming men or diminishing strong women. Instead, it's an honest examination of how survival patterns, inherited beliefs, and misunderstanding power dynamics can create friction in relationships, and how redefining strength can open the door to deeper connection. Today is about self-inquiry and embodied reflection, where I'm inviting you to think about the conversation about safety and softness and the courage that it takes to stop battling what was never actually meant to be a fight. So before I go too much further down this road, I want to make sure that I highlight enough that this is not intended in any way to be about men being a problem or women being too much. This is, again, meant to be my experience, what I've observed within that, the patterns that I've lived, the stories that I've told myself, and the moments where I had to be really honest about how I was showing up. It's merely an invitation to you, the listener, to see what resonates and what doesn't. And again, if today's episode doesn't resonate with you, no harm, no foul. Keep on pushing. There's lots of episodes that maybe there will be one in there. But it's merely meant to be ambitious, more about like my ideas around men, my ideas around what strength looks like. And this is important, especially as I have evolved into like my leadership style and what that looks like. And this is why I talk so much about the journey with self, the intimacy of self, because it's all interconnected. Because of my ideas of what strength looked like, those ideas formed the basis of what I thought leadership should look like. But there's been a lot of change in those ideas over the last few months and years, and hence the reason that I want to talk about it today. What I didn't see at first, that was that alongside a sense of safety, something else was happening. I wasn't just being drawn to strong men. I was often in battle with them, not out of anger, not out of resentment, but out of a belief that I carried that I didn't even realize was there until like many, many years later. That to stay safe and to stay respected, to stay sovereign, I had to match their energy in the exact same way. I told myself that I was just being independent, that I was capable, that I was grounded, and I don't need any help because I'm a strong woman. But underneath that other one, that idea, there was another story, a fear around softness, a judgment towards myself of what I learned to perceive as weakness, and a really deep belief that if I ever let go of like this really strong stance of like what I thought I needed to show up like, that I would lose myself. I didn't quite even understand then that I was actually already losing myself in trying to step into something that just quite frankly wasn't who I'm supposed to be. So in today's episode, I'm not here to diagnose dynamics or give advice. I'm here to tell the truth about how strength became armor for me and how I encased my heart around that and how I eventually learned to like lay down the armor and be really, really vulnerable with the people in my life and how it's changed the way that I relate to men and to power and to ultimately myself. If any part of this really settles within you in a way that resonates, that's what's yours. You can leave the rest. And this is simply my lived experience that I offer with honesty, not instruction, and to understand how all of this started with me, that I had to go back to the very, very first strong man that I knew. And that was my dad. So whenever I think of a strong man, I think of my dad. And my dad is like, he's really a strong man. And you know, he might not be big and like bulky and things like that, but he always had this very strong energy, this energy of like saying it like it is. And he knew what he wanted and he laid down the law and all this other kind of stuff. And so it wasn't surprising to me that those are the men that I am attracted to, men who are men's men and absolutely would attract into my life. And for me, it was like, it was funny when I reflect on like the dynamic in the house that I grew up in. It was very, very clearly defined. Like there was never any guesswork around masculinity and femininity in my house. And so it actually often confused me with why I felt like I needed to show up in a different way, because like there were blue jobs and there were pink jobs. There were things that my dad did and there were things that my mom did. There were, you know, and it was almost always like ever if there was ever any type of decision that needed to be made. And if I tried to be smart about it and like go talk to my mom about it, she would always revert to my dad. She would be like, I don't know, I'm gonna have to go talk to your dad about this. And that really bothered me. That's where the resentment really began, because I'm like, what? You can't make a decision on your own. We got to go talk to the man and figure out what's what. And it's funny how things evolve, because I later years actually learned a very, very different idea of what was actually going on. And this is why we really can't live in the childhood stories, because remember, that was a child perception. That I would go to my mom and ask about whatever. And my childhood perception was, my mom is weak. My mom can't make a decision. She's got to go ask my dad for permission about said thing. And that's exactly the energy that I would hold. And making all of these judgments as a child. It was only in later years that I learned what was really going on. And so I'm chuckling now, because it was not right. It was, and what I mean when I say it's not right, it's not what was fact. It was 100% a story that I was telling myself. And I remember that, you know, when I was young and like when I was reflecting on like specifically what made me feel really safe within that relationship and that connection with my dad, it was that he seemed decisive. My dad was rarely ever in a moment where he didn't know what he wanted to do or didn't have an opinion about something. Like, you could ask him anything and I could rarely stump him. It was not until later years that I figured out my way around that. But in my early years, it was like I could ask my dad a question and he would always have an answer. And I took that to mean like, oh my gosh, he knows everything. And I don't know, I just always felt like he just was so always in control. So I guess you could say that because he always seemed to have an answer, and he just always seemed so rooted in that decision and so decisive, I took that to mean that he must be so strong. And in addition to that, there's those perceptions that I had as a child, but then there were also the things that physically happen in the world. And what I mean is like, my dad's a provider. My dad has always been a provider. And I witnessed this in the relationship between my parents. Like, my dad was always thinking about my mom and always taking care of her and really always treating her like this very gentle being that needed to be, again, I'm saying this not with what it actually was. I'm saying this through the perception of a child's eyes. And so when I witnessed this, it was like my dad treated my mom with this tenderness that I didn't even understand. I was just like, my mom is like super strong. I'm like, why are you treating her like she's a fragile China doll that's going to break if she's got to make a decision on her own? And it was like this real resistance and this real anger and this real frustration. And I don't even know, like even now, I'm like, what was I thinking as a child? So as much as that strength made me feel super safe, I could see that I was making all of these judgments about my mom really sitting in her divine feminine, which was just receiving. Didn't know that as a kid, but that's what she was doing. She was doing exactly what she should be doing, which was receiving the care and the attention and the protection that my dad was providing. So even though it was one of these things that I really enjoyed as a child and then subsequently in my own personal relationships, I realized then that I started to compete with it. So not only having a resentment for weak women is what I had originally perceived my mom as, but feeling like I needed to counter that by being as strong as possible. And so this is where the seed of competition began to be sown. And so it evolved into this new lens that was like showing up in all of my connections, like specifically romantic connections, right? Where, you know, remember I have a type that I like a strong man. So because I like a strong men make their way into my experience. But then very quickly, and it's funny because, you know, as I'm even reflecting on it now, I think about the things that my ex-husband used to say, which was like, he never felt like he had a partner. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm doing all the things. Like I'm here, I'm present, I'm this, I'm that. But now I understand that what he was actually saying is like, why does it feel so combative? Like, and it wasn't like we were fighting, but what he was picking up on, and again, didn't have the language to articulate, is he was picking up on my feeling like if I look weak, if I am soft, then he is not going to love me and he is not going to respect me. And in addition to that, like this is how I show up strong, right? In this very masculine energy, this very divine masculine energy. So quietly, there's like this new competition that's happening that I didn't even know was going on. Like this is so subconscious. And so I'll be really honest, like my experience in that particular connection is I don't feel like there was actually space for me to soften into the divine feminine. I feel like there were, even as I'm reflecting on it now, and he would have his own story and his own perspective. So I'm just, again, saying this from my experience, but from my recollection of it, it was very much one of these scenarios where if I did try to like soften and be in this like softer, more receiving feminine energy, I felt judged for it. You know, things like you're too sensitive or you're too much or you're too this or you're too that. And this is where that armor began to like really be put up around me, because even though everything within my soul was encouraging me to soften into my feminine, whenever I did, because I just didn't have the, I didn't have the emotional maturity at that point in time. I can see it now because, you know, if I could talk to, you know, 20-year-old Charisse or 21-year-old Charisse that was like newly married and like doing this thing, I would just say, just stand in your power, right? Like, he's not going to leave you because you're a female. He's with you because he's with a female. So, and even he, if he knew it or not back then, it doesn't matter. But if I had the opportunity to talk to an older or a previous version of myself, that would probably be the advice that I would give myself, right? Which is just, it's okay. You're not meant to like sit in this energy of competing and all this other kind of stuff. So like I said, inevitably what ended up happening through that experience is that I began to become more strong. And my perception of strong at that moment in time was more about not showing my feelings, certainly not talking about feelings, and pushing whatever did come up beneath the surface. So when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about the battle within and what ensued during that particular phase of my life as I was trying to find my way to the divine feminine. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where I am sharing my experience and inviting you to consider what it looks like when why strong women struggle with strong men. And in the first segment, I opened with my very personal experience, quite obviously, watching the dynamic between my parents and what I considered my dad to be a strong man. And I guess through the lens of a child, you could say that I considered my mom to be what I had defined at that point in time as a weaker woman. And with all of those ideas firmly planted in my head, I then went on to take those ideas and have them play out in a marriage. And right before we went to break, one of the things that I was recalling was when my then partner would say things like he didn't feel like he had a partner. And logically, consciously, I could not understand what the heck he was talking about. It's actually even only now that I was prepping for this episode that I'm like, oh, that's what he meant. He didn't have, neither of us had the language or the awareness or the understanding to get that what he was picking up very energetically is like I was competing with him. He was a strong man and I was trying to show up in a strong masculine way as well. And I felt like, true or false, doesn't matter. It's the choice that I made, but I felt like I needed to do that in order to like stay in this connection. Because whenever I felt like I wanted to settle into my more feminine side of things, it would be, you know, the narrative around being too emotional or being too sensitive or any of these things that would eventually lead me to encasing myself or, you know, hiding my heart behind a wall and pushing any feelings that came up down and not ever acknowledging them. And that is where I could say that it felt like I was, it, this is where I really began to lose so much of myself, because I'm a woman. I very much sit in my divine goddess energy today. And back then, I didn't even know what that meant. I thought that being a woman, I'll be honest with you, it was so small at that point. But at that point in my life, I thought being a woman was having babies, taking care of those babies, cooking, cleaning, doing laundry, you know, having sex, like things like that, like holding my own as a woman, filling the pink jobs, looking at the connection with my then partner as being a role mate versus a soulmate. So no wonder why he didn't feel like he had a partner. I was just doing the things that I felt like said I'm a partner, and doing the pink job things that said that I was a partner, but energetically, not at all, sitting in my divine feminine energy. And I guess you could say that I did that from a place and space of, like, of course, trying to hold security and trying to stay safe in the connection and making sure that, you know, we didn't rock the boat too much and making sure that he was happy and, you know, all of these other kinds of things that inevitably happen or can sometimes happen in a relationship. So I felt like I needed to, like, bury this part of me that is absolutely a part of me in order to prove that I was strong to myself and to my then partner and possibly to, like, everyone else around me. And at the time, I didn't even know that I was, like, slowly burying parts of myself, that I was, like, not. And it colored everybody's experience even now as I think about it, because, you know, people would always say that, you know, I'm pleasant enough or I'm nice or whatever the case may be. But it wasn't until I was out of that relationship where people were like, oh, you were nice before, but, like, now you're really nice. Right. And I was like, what are you talking about? And it's so funny because you can't see yourself. This is why the need for the mirrored experience, because I couldn't see myself. I couldn't see how I was showing up. I couldn't see the cost and the price of, like, burying deeply, like, all of these parts of myself that were such a integral part of myself. And so I realize now that, like, I don't regret decisions, right? But I realize now that because I had these really interesting ideas about masculine and femininity and softness versus strength and what that looks like from men to women and so on and so forth, that I was, like, really, I was punishing him. I was punishing me. He was losing. I was losing because of my own inability to, like, be soft and be vulnerable and really stand strong in that. And now I know all these years later that that is actually the true strength. Vulnerability is strength. Vulnerability takes courage. It takes a lot to trust someone else and be soft with that and literally expose your underbelly. So even though it's, like, a very vulnerable position, it's also a strength position. And that realization did not come until many, many years later, like 8 or something like that. Like, I don't even, like, 8 years after the marriage ended is what I'm saying, is when that became a real visual awareness that the courage that someone needs to have. And I'd heard this recently, and I'm sure that it's all over Instagram or all over the internet, but it's like, if you think about it, courage is really when we do something that scares the shit out of us. Like, there's something that you want to do and it terrifies you to do it, but you do it anyways. And that's really what courage is, which is a function of strength to be able to do that. And that's what I mean when I say that's really where the strength lies, is in the softening, in the vulnerability. And why this is so important, and I'll tie this all into the end in terms of, like, leadership, because that's where we're going with this, especially as female leaders. But it was after I began to really soften into my feminine energy that these stories about my ideas on what strong women look like and what weak women look like really began to come to the surface. Now, this one's real personal. So this was probably about 3 years ago. And this is right when I started working with one specific and very, very helpful coach, very, very intentionally. And I remember the day like it was yesterday, but it was like, it felt like there was like a blockage in my progress. And she just said to me, she's like, just, you know, ask yourself what needs to be healed and whatever visually comes to you, just kind of go with that, either visually or like the memory or whatever the case may be. So I did this. I was doing a meditation. And I said, okay, dear higher self, what needs to be healed next? And immediately took me all the way back to, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years. Yeah, maybe 30 years. It was about 30 years ago. And it's funny because like all of this emotion came bubbling up. And this is where I think the idea was really, really solidified about how being soft can be very weak. And I hated that part of myself. And I realized then, this is how it really all ties in. I realized then that what I was projecting and what I was trying to protect myself was a perceived idea that I had about a memory I had about my mom. And it was a perception, a story that was like solidified in my head based on an experience in the past. And I remember in that moment thinking so much that I was just like, my mom is so weak. And I was like, and I am never going to be that weak in my entire life. And that really solidified it for me back then. And then I buried it. It was like the thing happened. I had my thought process. I committed to it, buried it, and put it away. And I never thought about it again until 30 years later. And so when this question gets posed of like, what needs to be healed next, it took me immediately back to that memory of that experience. And all the feelings were still there. Surprising. Not. It was not surprising at all because I never processed it. I never got to feel angry. I never got to feel any of the things. I never got to like rage and scream. And so when I'm recounting this experience to, you know, my coach after like the progress that I made, see, this is why this journey can feel really icky at times, because imagine my surprise. Like I'm explaining the memory that I had to her, the experience, and I am full tilt, like yelling at her. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that was there. And it was like a floodgate had been opened because I was finally willing to like get to the brass tacks of the situation. Like it was such a formative experience. And I didn't even realize how formative it was until 30 years later, which is nuts. So once I began to like really lean into that and now really start to peel back like the layers of it. And, you know, it's the beautiful thing about when we do this work with like intention and consciousness is like I was then able to look at it from, instead of, you know, young Charisse, I was now able to look at it as adult Charisse that had all my own experiences since then. You know, at this point, I've been married, I've been divorced, I've had a whole shit ton of kids, like I've gone through my own set of stuff. So at the end of the day, I can now look at the experience and be like, totally get it. I could look at the situation with compassion. I could look at the experience with empathy. I could look at the experience with understanding and begin to tell myself a very different story. But I first needed to feel all of that stuff, the anger, the rage, the disappointment, the judgment, the shame, all this stuff that I literally had buried for 30 years. I needed to feel it so I could acknowledge it and let it go and say to young Charisse, like, it's okay. Like that story's like not even true. Like the story you were telling yourself is like not at all the truth. this is possibly, like, now that you have all this experience that's happened, this is very likely the truth instead. Why don't we migrate it? And so it was so healing. It was so healing, not only for me as an individual, but the relationship with my mom, because I was holding all of this anger and all, and I've never said any of this to her, like none of it. So she didn't even know that quietly within me, I was like holding all, and she was actually probably picking up on it, because there would be times over the years where she'd be like, "You think I'm a horrible mom?" And I'd be like, "No, I never said that. You did." But now I can see how she was probably energetically picked, because I never, ever, ever would say to my mom that she was a horrible mom. If anything, I would say the exact opposite, which is like my parents really did everything they possibly could to be the best parents that they could possibly be. They loved us to the best of their abilities. They gave us everything that they wanted, or that we, like, they were just really good parents. Young Charisse didn't know that. It's only older Charisse that knows that. And so energetically, that's really what she was saying to me, because she was picking up on this resentment that I was holding, this anger that I was holding. And once I was able to like look at it through adult eyes and banish that story, that is when the shift began to happen, not only in the dynamic between myself and my mom, which has evolved in such a beautiful, beautiful manner without ever having a conversation like this happened and that happened. And I'm so mad. We never had that conversation. It was just me just being like, oh, okay, that's what happened. So anyways, we are going to continue about the evolution of this, my idea of what strong women look like and what weak women look like, when we come back from this next break.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I'm talking about, in my experience, why myself as a strong woman really struggled with strong men throughout, well, a lot of my life. But before we get back to the awarenesses that began to surface at this point, I just want to take a moment to say thank you so much for joining me here week after week. And if you are enjoying the content that I am bringing every Wednesday, please go to your favorite podcast platform and give me a review. I won't even actually ask for a 5-star review, just a review. Give me some feedback, so I know that if you like it, if you don't like it, if you have questions or concerns or anything like that, you can always shoot me an email, Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. That's Charisse at PavitraLeadership.com. Now, getting back to what I was talking about, right before the break, I was sharing with you the awareness that began to, like, the real truth that was playing out here in the subconscious that became aware, I became aware of only a few years ago. And it had related to an experience from like 30 years ago. But that year experience 30 years ago really solidified my idea of how women should show up and how I would choose not to show up. And it really, once I was able to, so right before the break, I was saying that once I was able to like reframe the story that I was telling myself from 30 years ago, that it really began to soften the edges of how I showed up in my experience with my mom. And as I was saying, for me, I never had a conversation with my mom about it. I never said this happened and that happened and I was angry and all this other kind of stuff. It was just this newfound awareness and this understanding, looking at it through an adult set of eyes, that none of those things that I told myself were true. And just like me as an adult parent, like a parent who was, children, that we all really just do the best that we can. And as we are raising our children, we have our own whole set of problems that we are trying to navigate. And my parents were really honestly just trying to do the very best that they could. And this is when it really I got to really begin to understand that I was, up until this point, over identifying with masculine energy. So I was showing up in ways that, like, just overdoing it, how do I put this? So in the very opening of today's podcast, I talked about all of these things that I really love about strong men, right? The being very decisive and always having an answer for everything and quick action and like always doing and always being busy. Like that's very male energy, right? When you think about the divine masculine, it is like push, go, push, push. And that is how I have been for the majority of my life. But once this phase had come about, this is where I began to understand. So my coach would always say to me, she's like, you got to lean more into your divine feminine. You got to lean more into it. I'm like, what the heck does that even mean? Like, I don't know what that means. And now it took me back to my mom and what she was really good at doing, which was receiving and being in her divine feminine. And I would say this to people, but I didn't actually know what I was saying. Now that I think about it, I'd be like, my mom is the one who like taught me how to like take care of myself. And what I mean when I say that is like, my mom was always really good, or is really good, at taking care of her needs and making sure that her needs get met. She's really good at it. And back then I used to mean that, you know, she'd get her nails done and, you know, do the things that made her feel good. And then when I started saying that, I also meant that, but I meant it in a very physical way, right? Getting my nails done, getting my hair done, getting my eyelashes done, getting my toes done, getting this thing done, right? Like, so really taking care of my exterior front-facing temple, never mind the interior world, but really good at the exterior world. So I took that definition and I started to morph with it and I started to play with it. But the lesson was still there. My mom was really good at receiving. And my dad was really good at giving. And as a kid, I totally missed that. That was straight over my head. Did not understand it, did not see it. I was looking at it through the lens of, oh, my dad is doing so much and my mom is taking so much. But at the same time, my dad is doing exactly what a divine masculine should do. And if you think about it in a very sexual way, that's exactly what we're designed for. Men are designed to give and women are designed to receive. Full stop. And I didn't know how to do that. Even though I had been watching it my entire life, I did not even know where to begin. And so this brings me to the learning that I am in right now, which is, how the heck do I receive? I don't even know how to receive. That's how nuts it is. And so much so that it was like, and in my, when I was married, my then partner wasn't a giver. And if you're listening, I'm sorry for saying that, but he wasn't. He was not a giver. He was very much about like 50-50. And let me be very clear here. I'm not talking about, you know, money and things like that. What I mean is like whatever it means to you, however the divine masculine wants to give and however you as a divine feminine want to receive, whatever that looks like in your dynamic. But it felt like I won't say never. I don't like absolutes. It felt like everything was like 50-50. And I was just like, I remember feeling very much like, is this a business? Because this is what this feels like. This just feels like a business transaction. I don't want to get pulled in there and stuck there. But the point that I'm getting at is I definitely did not learn anything about receiving in that particular dynamic. But when I moved into my current relationship, this is where I began to learn how to receive. This is where I had to learn that I was not receiving and that it was perfectly okay for me to ask and to receive and to have gratitude over it. And that it didn't make me weak and it didn't make me soft. It didn't mean that I was incompetent. It didn't mean any of those things. And again, I have a type. So my divine masculine is a giver. And he likes to give. It makes him feel good. And so when I started to have this awareness, and it was funny because it would be like, he'd be trying to like give all over the place. And I didn't know what to do with that. I was like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm like, you know, we would go for dinner and I'm like, let's go Dutch, you know, what? And he would never let me pay. And it was funny because he would just never let me pay. And I didn't know what to do with that. I was just so not used to it. And then I finally said to him, I said, you know what? And this is not that long ago. Like it's not yesterday, but it's, a few years ago. And I just said to him, I said, you know what? I just need you to be really patient with me. I'm like, I am not used to somebody who wants to take care of me. And I am not used to somebody that wants to just like take care of my every need. I am learning how to receive. So as much as like it's so natural to you, it is not natural to me. And I love it. So please don't stop. But I am learning. So please be patient. And it is a constant learning because it's not even just about receiving anymore. It's about asking. And this ties into so many things. For those of you who are like, into different parts of spirituality. Actually, I'm not even going to go there. I wanted to talk about like a wound of mine and why it's like so important to learn how to receive and not even just receive, but also ask. And it was like in all the little things, it would be like somebody would say, oh, you look really pretty today. And I'd be like, and not even from the place of, no, I'm not. I'd be like, I would deflect the compliment and turn it back to them. And that is like, if you think about that, like on an energetic level, that's like the universe giving you something and saying, I don't want it. Get it out of here. So I had to like even learn how to receive a compliment. So instead of just being like turning it back to them and deflecting it because it made me so uncomfortable. Like, do you hear that? The lunacy around that, the lunacy around not being able to accept things. I had to teach myself how to begin to be comfortable with receiving. So now if somebody gives me a compliment, I'm like, thank you so much for those kind words. Thank you so much for sharing that. When things come into my world, like physical things, it used to be that I'd ask all the questions. Why? Why is this person being so generous? Why is this thing happening? No more. I will just say, thank you so much for being so generous. I used to say things like, you didn't have to. Now I'm like, of course they did because it came through the universe. So not like they had to, but of course it was coming to me because I deserve all amazing things. All of it. All the love, all the money, all the every single thing that I dream about, I deserve. And that's why this was so important to begin to like allow the divine feminine in me to come to the surface and be okay with my divine masculine doing what he does. And then the other part of this, very relationally, was What does that say to a man when I'm just like, I got it. I got it. I can do it. I don't need you. Then what the heck do I need him for? Like, just think about that. And this is where that book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, comes into play. And it would, he talks very clearly in that book about psychologically men desiring to like take care of women, to be needed in that way, to be like, to do that part that is so part of their makeup. And every time I would say, I don't like, I remember even once saying to my, and this was just like, I only reflected on this many years later. I'm like, wow, I can't even believe that I said that. But I knew what I was saying. I just did not articulate it very well. But there was one time in my then relationship where I was just like, I don't need you. I choose you. And I know there's a lot of energy out there like that. But I just want you to sit with that as for women that are listening today. Think about what that sounds like. If a man actually said to you, I don't need you. I choose you. Does that feel good? Does that feel warm and fuzzy? And like, you just want to have like a really deep connection with this person. And when I really listened and felt into like the energy around those words, I was intending it as a compliment, but it was not ever received as a compliment. If anything, it was very, very hurtful and very, very painful to be in the energy of, I don't need you. Of course, none of us need each other. It doesn't need to be said. So anyways, before we go to break, next we're going to be talking about the massive shift and how this really began to open up all different parts of my life. We'll be right back after this break.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse, where today I'm talking about why strong women can sometimes struggle with strong men. Throughout the course of today's show, I've been talking a lot about my own experience, the journey from like the child, like from witnessing adult relationships to my observations and false stories that I was telling myself, to the awareness and the final awakening and understanding that my mom was never young or weak at all. It was just a false story that I was telling myself, and what it really began to open up in all areas of my life. And right before the break, I was sharing about the dynamics of my experience in these divine feminine, divine masculine relationships, and how I had to begin to teach myself or soften. This is where the softening really happened. And I attribute it wholly to my significant other, because he's so patient, and I probably drive him crazy if I'm being honest with you, because it doesn't mean like those parts of me don't still come up where I'm like, I'm the boss. But it's like this new awareness that like divine masculine, divine feminine show up very, very differently. And the new evolution, or the most recent evolution of myself, is more in terms of like, now I'm saying to him, I'm like, you can absolutely take care of me in the physical world. I'm like, I got us in the energetic world. And why do I say that? Well, the areas that really opened up once this connect happened for me were specifically around my work, my relationship, and when I say work, I mean leadership, my relationship with my significant other, my abundance, so my ability to manifest and my magic, my divine feminine magic. And as soon as this wound of mine, this core wound, began to be like, I had this awareness around it, and I was able to begin to heal it and to very consciously tell myself very, very different stories. This is where it just got so amazing. So I don't want to run out of time. I want to make sure that I cover this. So I might burn through this really quickly so we don't get cut off. So first and foremost, work. So for a long time in my business, I was like feeling like I had to show up like a man would show up, like authoritative and like, you know, lay down the law and like carrot and stick approach and things like that. And I mean, I swung hard in that way. Like I went from being, we'll say, softer to like, nope, this is how I got to show up, and went completely the opposite way, where I was just like laying down the law, and it never felt good. It never, never, never felt good. As soon as I decided to bring it back to the middle and find balance within that, and understood what divine masculine and divine feminine finally were. Divine masculine is doing. Divine feminine is knowing. It is receiving. It is flow. It is not, the energies are not even the same. They are complementary is what they are. As soon as I did that, then it's like everything began to like open up in terms of like having a really strong sense of like, right? The light bulb went off. So it's like things started to make more sense in the workplace around what my purpose was, what my value was, how I could show up authentically and not the way I always thought that I had to show up as a leader. The second thing that happened was I'm going to come to that one last, the abundance in my life. The abundance was like, as soon as I had said earlier in the episode today, that as soon as I started saying thank you and receiving without apology and making mistakes or, you know, assumptions about why someone was doing something and just saying thank you and deflecting and all this other kind of energy, I stopped pushing away my blessings. That's what I'm trying to say. So when things would come to me, the smallest things, the teeniest, tiniest things, and the biggest things. As they came to me, I'm literally like walking through the day, thanking. So much so that even now when I start my day, I am living a life that I love. And that doesn't mean that I don't have problems, that I don't have things that challenge me. I just shared, well, maybe not today, but at this moment in time, I'm grappling with my own stuff. But that doesn't mean that I don't love my life. I wake up in the beginning of the day and I start my day with like so much gratitude. And because I have so much gratitude, like my heart, like if I were to be able to paint the picture of what I feel like my life is like, it's like this water bottle overflowing with blessings, like so much. And like I could pinch myself. I feel like my life is so amazing. I literally am saying in my head, I am in love with my life. But that only happened when I could welcome and receive the blessings that were coming to me all day, every single day, little ones and big ones. So the abundance really started to flow. Once the abundance started to flow, the feminine magic also started to flow. And this is where that sense of self was not feeling like guesswork anymore. It was feeling like being in the flow. So as an example, like when I work with people, like in a coaching capacity or an energetic capacity or like in a reading capacity, I don't question anymore. It's just like flowing. There's no like no anxiety around, did I hear it right? Did I get that right? Did I say it right? There's none of that. I'm not even questioning. I'm just trusting the information that's coming with me, and I'm sharing it with the people who are sitting in front of me or that I'm working with. What I care about when I'm done working with someone more than anything else is, did you find value in it? I'm no longer questioning whether or not I'm bringing value. I'm making sure that they are giving the gift or receiving the gift of what I am giving to them. So to start off with, there was the work, then there was the abundance, and then there was the feminine magic. And last but not least, the shifts in my romantic relationship have just, they're mind-boggling to me. It's like this, I said to somebody recently, I'm like, I came through 2025, not without challenges, but there's this new silent strength with softness. So if you find yourself in that same place, the question I leave you with is, you soften in ways that you didn't perceive to find a new type of strength. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.